Count of Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo visits the dungeon of the Chateau d'If, where he was imprisoned for 14 years. The chateau is no longer a prison. Concierge shows Monte Cristo the dungeon of the Abbey Faria and is amazed at receiving 10,000 francs for the old history written by the supposedly mad priest. Present scene is the deck of Monte Cristo's yacht at night. The Count of Monte Cristo.
Has Maximilian come on board, A.D.?
Not yet, Excellency.
I wonder what has detained him so long.
I thought he was with you, monsieur.
He left me to go to the cemetery to visit the grave of his father. He was to join me here, but he did not arrive for supper, and now it is nearly 9 o'clock.
Do you think something has happened to him?
It is hard to know what to think. Maximilian is a man of his word. I've never known him to break a promise.
I am sure he must be safe, Excellency. Perhaps Monsieur Maximilian has met some of his old friends in Marseille and is detained.
Possibly. He was hardly in the mood for celebrating old times.
Come, let us sit here on deck and enjoy this beautiful evening. How clear the sky is. And there is scarcely a ripple of water.
I thought you were reading to Monsieur Nortier.
He fell asleep. Can you guess one of my dearest wishes, Excellency?
To go back to Paris?
No.
I am sure I cannot guess, A.D.
I wish that Monsieur Nortier will talk again. Oh, how much he could say to us. There is so much meaning in his eyes.
I shall have the best physicians in Rome examine him again, but I fear nothing can be done for him. He is hopelessly paralyzed.
Sometimes in the morning, he seems to be able to say a few words.
I have noticed that.
When I entered his cabin this morning, he was in a reverie, half waking, and did not know I was there. He said something very strange, Excellency.
What was it, A.D.?
He said, more distinctly than I have ever heard him speak, "I shall see her soon."
Whom did he refer to?
I asked him whom he meant. If he meant Mademoiselle Valentine. And his eyes said, yes.
Old men and women have clear vision. They become clairvoyant when they have led active lives, Monsieur Nortier has.
Oh, Monsieur le Comte, then Monsieur Nortier believes he is soon to die?
No.
No? Then why should he expect to see his granddaughter very soon?
Did you ask him that?
I tried to comfort him. Thinking that he believed he would die. I asked him questions, but he would not answer with his eyes as he always does.
Then what do you make of it, A.D.?
It seems to me Monsieur Nortier has a secret. Perhaps he knows he will die and will not tell us. But he seems happy, as though some great event were to happen.
Well, let him enjoy his hopes in his own way.
Oh, I have just remembered something. Did Monsieur Maximilien know that they bought... Oh, what do you say? Moor? I always remember the word moor. I think of an Arab. Does he know the boat is moored in a new place?
Possibly Bertuccio forgot to tell him we would leave the other anchorage. That might explain his lateness.
Oh, I love it here. That is a lighthouse, is it not, monsieur?
Yes, Adie. It is on the Ile Ratonneau.
How dark the shore is there.
It is the Pointe de Catalan.
Only one house has a light burning.
I wonder who lives there now. Someone who waits for the return of a sailor far at sea.
You are sad tonight, Excellency. Should you not be happy?
Why, happy? Of course I'm happy, Adie.
If I did not know you very well, monsieur, I should say you are in love.
To be back here in the harbor of Marseille brings back many memories.
Perhaps you loved someone here when you were a young man.
Long ago, I loved a girl who lived there, where you see that light burning.
What became of her?
She married.
I think she must have been a very foolish girl to marry someone else. But she did not love you?
I was gone from Marseille for a long time. She thought me dead.
Could you not let her know you were alive?
I tried. Messages are not always received, whether they are transmitted through the ether or by letter.
Pardon, monsieur. You have mourned very much because of this.
It was many years ago. You, the daughter of Ali Pasha, know what it means to carry in your heart a wound that never quite heals.
Forgive me for speaking of it, Excellency. I always want to know what troubles you. For you are my second father, my brother, all I have.
Dear child.
I thought I would never again see you that day Le General de Morcerf came to the house in his uniform. You fought with him in the drawing room. But I prayed for you.
Ali Pasha is avenged at last.
You risked your life for me.
Oh, there were other reasons why Fanon de Morcerf deserved to die.
There is something very terrible about you, Excellency.
Adie.
At times, you are like some terrible messenger sent by fate to punish those who have done wrong.
Rather, to help those who need me.
That should come first. Is it not true? To help rather than to destroy.
It depends upon circumstances. Often the seed cannot be planted unless the soil is renewed. The sun does not shine until the freshening winds drive away the low-hanging clouds.
One day you said to me that you had more to do with the Leconte de Morcerf's disgrace than I knew. Did you know him long ago?
It was he who married the girl I loved.
Excellency! So, you sought revenge?
No, he won her by lies and treachery, Adie. If it had been otherwise, if I had not suffered greatly because of him, I should not have followed him.
I begin to understand. You saw in me a means to punish him. You did not act because of me alone.
No, Adie.
Oh. And now that your work is done, you no longer need me.
Adie, you are my ward. From me you are to inherit a vast fortune. You have youth and beauty. The world lies before you. It is not for me to keep you in a cloister apart from society, from friends, from the future that is rightfully yours.
Oh, it is as I feared.
You are no longer a slave. You are a princess by birth. I cannot ask you to share my loneliness.
You are going to leave me?
You must be happy, Adie. Forget the name of Monte Cristo.
This is your command, Excellency?
Only my prediction.
Oh, but Can you not see what this would mean to me?
My daughter. My dear A.D., I see more clearly than you. Listen. Maximilian is coming.
Good night, Excellency.
Good night, dear child.
Is that you, Monsieur le Comte?
Oui, Maximilian.
I've been searching for you for hours.
Is it possible Bertuccio forgot to tell you where we would be?
Mon Dieu. Now you speak of it, he did tell me the boat would change its moorings. I've been rowing about the harbor for 3 hours.
Then you have not dined.
I had an early supper in the Rue Saint-Laurent, a little restaurant, I remember.
Maximilian, you asked me to remain a few days at Marseille. Do you still wish to do so?
I imagined I might pass the time less painfully here than elsewhere.
Then you have not found comfort from my assurances?
Monsieur le Comte, you told me to hope. I've tried. But the image of Valentine is always before me.
I have told you you will be happy.
Oh, I'm grateful, monsieur. But my life is empty.
You will not fail me, Maximilian?
I will keep my promise. Even if you fail.
You have so little faith in Le Comte de Monte Cristo.
I must believe the evidences of my senses. Valentine lies dead in a tomb in the cemetery of Père Lachaise.
Maximilian, once I was buried deep down in the earth in a tomb more formidable than that of Valentine. The world believed me dead. For all earthly purposes, I was dead.
It was different.
No one knowing the conditions of my imprisonment, knowing me to be still alive, would ever have hoped to see me free. Who would have dreamed that Edmond Dantès would today have the blessings of freedom, health, riches?
In your case, while there was life, there was hope.
The same is true in your case. I foresee happiness for you, equal to all you have lost.
No, but, monsieur, that is impossible.
Tomorrow I am going to Italy on some business. I shall leave you alone with your thoughts. You remember where we are to meet?
On the island of Monte Cristo, October 5th.
I know you will not fail, Maximilian. Then we meet October 5th on the island of Monte Cristo.